Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we left off here at verse number 8, which says, "So being effectually desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." Now, we've been looking at the last episode. We closed out looking at this issue of where the Apostle Paul was talking about the issue of, you know, the imparting of their souls. We started looking at the parts of a man which are found in the end of this epistle, where he lays out that there's a spirit, a soul, and a body. We looked at how the spirit is the mind, that piece of the individual that has to be renewed as the Word of God is being taken in, the part of the individual that is actually the spirit communicates with the spirit that's inside of us. It's how the grace of God actually works in an individual. We talked about the flesh, the body, the place where sin is located, and how there's actually that spiritual circumcision that takes place that separates the flesh from the inner man. Now, when you look at the issue of Paul talking about the idea that they were willing to impart their own soul, the soul is the part of the body where the emotions actually are located. Now, Paul is saying this idea because, and when you tie it in with this whole idea of how Paul talking here about the care that they were to have for the saints, as Paul shows that this church in Thessalonica had, he talks about the care that himself, Silas, and Timothy had, that as part of that care, this would be the whole idea of, as individuals are dealing with other members of the body, that it should be all the way down to that level of, you know, feeling those type of emotions for other individuals. That's why you see Paul describe their care. Let's go over to Galatians chapter number 6. To see where Paul talks about this issue. We've looked at this verse a couple different times already as we've been looking at things in this study. But here in Galatians chapter number 6, I want to read here verse number 10. It says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So the members of the body of Christ, the first issue is that they really should be doing good unto all individuals. So there's a care that we should have for anybody that we encounter. Now, Paul also says that we should especially have that care for the members of the body of Christ. So for all of those individuals that have put their trust in the gospel message which saves today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and an individual putting their trust in that and that alone, giving them their salvation, they immediately become part of that household of faith, that group that we are really supposed to have that a special care for. And, you know, that's a big thing. You know, when we talk about coming together as the body, there really should be that care. You know, it shouldn't be a begrudging, you know, saying hello to somebody who's a member of the body of Christ when they walk into the assembly as it's gathering together to study God's Word. There should be a genuine care that should be present in any sort of greeting, any sort of communication, any sort of interaction that there is between the members of the body of Christ, there should be a legitimate care. And this is what the Apostle Paul's talking about, that idea of having, I think of especially those who are of the household of faith. You see how Paul describes, you know, things related to his ministry and the things that he was going through. If we go over to the book of 2 Corinthians, and when I go over here to chapter number 12, here in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we'll see how Paul starts to describe this issue here in this book. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're going to read here verse number 15. It says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." So Paul is saying that he was willing to do this even as he was demonstrating this care for them, and how as he was demonstrating this care, that every time he was doing something, they started to have less and less care for him, and that he did not allow that to have any impact on how he was dealing with these individuals who were in the assembly in Corinth. And, you know, the natural man has that reaction, well, you know, they don't care for me, so I'm not going to care for them. Paul's saying it's the exact opposite, that no matter how somebody is treating you, you are supposed to be demonstrating that care for the other individuals. That's the imparting, as Paul puts it, of your own soul, because you're allowing everything to really work through, demonstrating the love that God has truly demonstrated for us. That's the issue. If we go over to Romans chapter number 5, to where we see how things are motivated here in the dispensation of the grace of God. You know, under the law, the whole motivation was the fear that would come about, that if I didn't do the right thing, I was going to be punished as a result of not doing those things. Paul lays out what really our motivation should be during this dispensation. If we look here in Romans chapter number 5, I want to start here at verse number 6. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." And Paul here lays out how the whole issue of that God demonstrated his love toward us by the fact that Christ died for us to take care of that issue of sin. And that the motivation for us to be doing the right things, the motivation for us to be caring for the saints, all comes about through this love that has truly already been demonstrated for us. That's why Paul can, as he concludes in that verse in our text here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, when he's saying, "Because ye were dear unto us." That's how Paul, Silas, and Timothy looked at these individuals who are part of this local assembly in Thessalonica. They looked at them as being dear unto them. That's how we should be looking at every member of the body in that manner. That's why you can see how Paul closes out, even when you look at, you know, towards the very end of this same epistle here, if we go over to chapter number 5 in 1 Thessalonians, you see how he uses in verse 26, it says, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Now, the idea of the holy kiss, you know, this is an issue. This is a cultural issue that was going on in Thessalonica. The whole issue, though, is that there's supposed to be a very warm greeting that should actually happen when anybody comes in. You know, whether that's somebody that everybody knows, and you know, that's always the easy way of, you know, well, we know this person, so we have a genuine care for them. But the care should also be demonstrated towards people that we don't know. You know, visitors who come to a local assembly for a first time, or, you know, someone who might be traveling and they go to a local assembly as they're traveling because, you know, they want to, you know, continue to be fed by the Word of God. Know that there's a group of individuals who are, you know, studying the Word of God, rightly divided, individuals that they know are saints that they feel they can have fellowship with, and there should be a warm greeting that's there for them. You know, sometimes it happens. You know, and when it happens, you know, praise the Lord that individuals are doing the things that God truly intends to happen. Other times, that doesn't happen. And when it doesn't happen, it's truly a shame on the individuals who are not demonstrating that warmth and care for other individuals. You know, and I've seen that happen when, you know, going into other assemblies, I've seen the good and I've seen the bad. You know, and I've seen the bad so much that, you know, it looks like they could care less that somebody actually showed up, you know, that they didn't know. You know, that's a very bad sign that's happening in the body of Christ when that occurs. I've seen those type of interactions, you know, that happen through, you know, things on the internet of where, you know, there's, you know, interactions which are truly gracious and you can see the care that individuals have. And I've seen interactions where it's very clear that they have no true care for the individual that they're actually speaking to. Now, when it happens, the person, they're still saved, they're still a brother in the Lord when that occurs, but they're wrong when those things happen. Paul talks about the care that should actually be there. And that's as he's writing to this assembly in Thessalonica, he's holding them up as this pattern so that way other individuals could actually see this. And this would have been really important because the epistle to this church in Thessalonica, this is one of the very first epistles that the Apostle Paul's writing. So he's demonstrating what it is that individuals are really supposed to be doing as the members of the body of Christ. Now, when we look here, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we're going to start here verse number 9, which says, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. So here Paul is going to be taking it back to the things that they had actually seen when he was actually ministering to them. So he's calling to memory those things. And that's why he's saying, for ye remember, because these are the things that they actually truly witnessed when he was there. We see the things that are recorded here by Luke. If we go over into Acts chapter number 17, to where we see the interaction that Paul had with this assembly in Thessalonica, where Luke actually records his travel here. And here in Acts chapter number 17, I want to start here, verse number 1, says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." So you see this issue of Paul and Silas going unto them. And you see how when it, you know, the very beginning of the chapter says, they came. So we know that Luke wasn't part of this actual travel. They come unto Thessalonica. And he goes in for 3 Sabbath days, so for the span of 3 weeks, he's going in, he's preaching some things unto them, and you see how there's a number of individuals who actually believe what it is that he's preaching. And that's why you can see even when it starts talking about, you know, the taking of Jason, it says Jason and certain brethren. So these are saved individuals who've put their trust in what Paul is preaching here. You see how verse 4 is identifying the fact that some of them believed. You see that it starts naming that there's a great multitude of the Greeks who believed. But then you also see that there's a group when it says the Jews which believed not. So there's a number of these individuals who are part of that unbelieving Israel who are going to oppose what it is that the Apostle Paul is doing. Now, you always know when something is going on in the Scripture, when, you know, it's, you know, what God is doing, because you see how the world actually starts to oppose the things of God. You know, the world doesn't want those things to go on. Satan doesn't want those things are going, and that's why you start seeing these individuals rise up as a result of what it is that Paul has been preaching, to the point of where he even describes them as these that have turned the world upside down. You know, that's how it is that these individuals are actually being viewed, as that what it is that they're doing is turning the world upside down. And it's turning the world upside down because prior to the Apostle Paul, every, you know, salvation was of the Jews. Everything was going through the nation of Israel. You know, there was a gospel message talking about the fact that Jesus is the Christ. After Paul is saved, you see how there's something that's given to him that's identified as my gospel. The gospel that he lays out, if we look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, to this gospel that he records in Scripture here, and we're going to read the first 4 verses of 1 Corinthians 15, which says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So when Paul is identifying the individuals in Thessalonica, calling them brethren, he's identifying those individuals that have put their trust in this gospel message that we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. These are the people who are members of the body of Christ who have witnessed these things. They've witnessed the opposition that has been going on to the things that are what Paul is doing. And that's why when he can call them to this memory, he's calling them to the memory of, you know, you remember what it is that I came in and I preached unto you. You remember seeing, you know, the individuals that rose up. You remember seeing the growth that came about through the words that were being given to you, because it was the word of God which was working in them. That's the things that you see how Paul in his epistles will always talk about, this idea of holding fast to the form of sound words. He'll talk about teach no other doctrine. All of these things, trying to keep people focused on the information that had been given to the Apostle Paul, so that way this would be the things that would continue to be going out and to be taught. You know, that's why you see how Paul, even in his last epistle, if we go over to 2 Timothy, we're going to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, to see something that Paul is going to write here about this idea of, you know, this message keep going forth. We're going to read here the first two verses of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." And the whole idea, and this is really where you start to see that care that's really distributed for individuals, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ that supplies the need that man has. The Lord Jesus Christ supplied that need through what he accomplished on the cross. And our responsibility is to function as that ambassador for Christ, carrying out that ministry of reconciliation, to not only preach the gospel to individuals, but also so that way they would start to have that coming unto the knowledge of the truth, the growth that comes about with it. And as that's occurring, the whole idea is that another generation is being raised up to be able to keep going forth teaching this message. Now, that can only happen when individuals are, when Paul says, "For ye remember," when individuals are remembering the things that had been given unto them, when people are putting their trust in this message, putting their trust in how Paul describes himself as being that pattern for us, you know, and he even lays out what that pattern even means when he says, "Follow me as I followed Christ." He followed Christ, as we see through what we have recorded in the books of Romans through Philemon. And that's how we are to be doing those same things. We're to be, you know, as he says, "For ye remember." We're to be keeping in memory the things that the Apostle Paul has recorded for us. And we keep those things in memory as we study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we take in the word of God. We allow it to renew our mind. And as our mind is being renewed and it's pushing us away from being conformed to this world, the whole idea is that we are going to remember the things that the Apostle Paul actually says were done for us. And that's the role that we are supposed to have as the members of the body of Christ. Now, Paul's going to continue on where he's talking about the things that they remember, and he's going to start talking about this idea that there's, he says, our labor and travail. And he's going to be talking about some very specific things, and that's where we're going to pick up in our next episode, is looking at this idea of our labor and travail and exactly what it is that the Apostle Paul is trying to call to mind for them. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. There'll be some new ones actually will be posted later this week. We have, information about how to join our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. And actually, this Wednesday, Pastor Reed will be teaching out of the book of Romans. So, we'd invite you to join us with that as well. And always remember, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything on our website, anything you hear in these broadcasts or hear in any of our other messages, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.